extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Wow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire from Kansas City. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Charlie Davies. The best 1-2 combo in podcasting in North American soccer, certainly, but maybe even the world. Good Lord. I leave last week. All of a sudden, I'm getting text messages saying, hey, you don't need to come back. These guys got it. It was a wonderful show. It was a beautiful show. And I was a little bit hurt by that. But you know what you guys can't do? You know what you don't have? You don't have a Galaxy Shrine. And if you don't have a Galaxy Shrine, you can't get Chicharito on this podcast. And we have Chicharito, Javier Hernandez, on this very podcast. So this is teamwork, Charlie. I know you want to dismiss my role. I know you want to say you can do this without me, but you can't, okay? You can't.
Charlie's a pure striker. He doesn't see the buildup. He doesn't care. Someone, if it's not you, Wiebe, someone will get in the ball. It doesn't matter to him.
I appreciate the buildup, though, but you know I'm going to finish. I'm going to stretch the field, and that's what we did. It was direct, and Goss was the leader. He's the captain. He was in the middle just directing, and we made a beautiful performance.
You did, and I appreciate it. Thank you for stepping in.
We did miss your presence.
I'm glad to hear you say that. That's the entirety of what this was about, was just at some point for you to acknowledge that you missed me. Now that we've done that, we can talk about soccer. Galaxy LAFC on Saturday, the first El Tráfico of the year. Chicharito's first El Tráfico ever, which sounds incredible to say. 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Big Fox, Antenna Fox, Bunny Ears Fox. Everybody can get it over the air, Fox. Watch this game. Do not miss this game. We're going to preview that in depth, and we got about 15 minutes for you with Chicharito. Dave, give people the sell. What did he talk about? What did we get into with Javier? I mean, you changed your
no,
you changed
don't
your opinion.
Say that.
You changed
don't
your opinion
that,
of the man.
I don't want it out there that I had another opinion of him
okay.
at any point. Listen, I'm a USA fan. I've been a USA fan my entire life. I respect Liga MX, love Liga MX, respect what Mexican players have done in the world. I root against them because it's my job to root against them. So I've rooted against Javier Hernandez on the field for a fairly long time in his life. And he was super engaging, charming. And I think everyone's seen from the interviews on TV, his talk about mental health it's special. It's unique. It's something that all of us need to talk about more. And it's one of those things that athletes are starting to speak up about. And it's really impressive to see just his willingness to be open and be vulnerable and to approach these subjects in these settings. We should have him back on for like a 95-minute special.
100%, man.
We'll do it once a month.
He didn't hide at all. And he's embracing it right now. And I think that goes to what he called the shadow and the light in his life over the last year and a half or so. It's clear he's gone through a lot and is going through a lot, but it's so impressive the way he's doing that in a public way. We also talked to him about Carlos Vela, not the player, the man. They've known each other since they were 15 years old in Guadalajara. So got a little insight on that as well. Plus, El Tráfico, get his preview on that game. In this show, we've got a mega preview coming of all the national TV games this week. And I think by my count, I'm not the best at counting, but I think there are six.
Yeah.
And of course, we're going to get to our ESPN Plus games of the weekend, the mailbag, and we will establish, as it has always been, that free space is disappointment, that I was right to be the wet blanket.
Wow.
You guys talked me off the ledge. Now we're back on the ledge. It's CONCACAF Champions League is not kind to MLS. And at this point, Union, you're our only hope. Like Princess Leia style. Union, help us. You're our only hope. Please. Like the Death Star is in front of us, and we've got to find the garbage chute somehow. Hopefully Jim Curtin and the boys can do it. Before we get into the soccer talk here at the all-new MLSsoccer.com and the MLS app, Greg Seltzer has which teams are having an early success, which of those are for real. Doyle's got his tactical preview of El Tráfico and why teams are playing two forward setups. I got your week four cheat sheet coming out Thursday, and you can also, over the weekend, hit us with what you see on the field for instant replay. Charlie, it's really helpful, right, when we get these tweets from people with, I mean, like what they saw, when they saw it, and what they think. It really sets the show up. We want it to be a show for the people.
It is a show for the people. So if you see a call that you're like, that doesn't look right to me, let us know, because we would love to talk about it. We'd love to kind of share our insight on what was going through the players' minds, what was going through the referee's mind, and what we think is the right call. So please send it in, because that's going to make it more interesting to hear from you.
And by the way, you don't have to agree with what we say. You don't need us to tell you, you that. A lot of people already tell us that, but that's the fun of the show. Oftentimes, Charlie and I disagree. All right, let's get into it. The producer Anders reminder of the day is we were all deceived. Free space is and has always been disappointment. Your CCL recap goes a little something like this. Columbus Crew 2-2 on aggregate, 5-2 losers on aggregate. They go to Monterey and lose 3-0. The Portland Timbers lose 3-1 to Club America Azteca. They are out. Let's see who else here. Philadelphia Union won aggregate. They drew Atlanta United 1-1. There was something interesting after that one we'll get to. And of course, Cruz Azul handled Toronto FC 4-1 on aggregate. So what was it? It was like five teams through actually to the quarterfinals, one team through to the semis. That is CCL in a nutshell for you. Jonathan Yardley, who always has the numbers on this stuff, has MLS's record against Mexican teams in two-leg series, in real competition, not friendlies. It's 9-40, folks. It's 3-27 when the second leg is in Mexico. It's 6-11 when the second leg is in MLS venues, and 0-2 when it's in neutral Orlando, which is a new addition for this year. I mean, this is the way it happens.
Did TFC win in Disney against León?
Sorry, I
wasn't digging into this. Continue.
That's fair. We're gonna have to fact check Jonathan. I think you might be right about that one. What do you think about this? How do you feel? Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I think Wednesday night. Sorry, Charlie. You can go first.
No, I was just gonna say, given Portland's situation, I still think that was an honorable way to go out, losing 3-1 at Azteca. And to be honest, you know, you look at Leo Suarez, he's a special player. He's not going to be with Club America I would highly doubt he's going to be with them in the semifinals, just because I could see a number of European clubs coming to poach him, if not even an MLS club, because he's that good. Given that, I think 3-1, it's respectable. Like, you're playing in Azteca against Club America in their home. Yes, you got a penalty call. I think it was a phantom penalty call, kind of a makeup call for the foul on Leo Suarez in the first half. But this is for me, it's not as bad as it seems. You look at Columbus Crew, that lets me down, because they were so talented. They should have performed better, and things didn't go their way.
And I think a lot of the conversation coming out of this is, well, what's wrong? What can change? What do we know? I think one is, let's see how Philly does first before we have this conversation, because I understand depth is a big part of what people are talking about, and quality. And this comes on the heels of, it sounds like Florian Thauvin, a 28-year-old French international, is about to sign with Tigres. That's what we're chasing. And the Tigres wasn't even in CCL this year. Like, that's the quality of teams we're talking about. And Charlie's talking about Suarez and Cordova, and, you know, Henry Martin came off the bench in this game. That's how deep Club America is. But I still come back to the timing of this competition, because you want to talk about depth. Columbus went into the first leg of this competition and played their third and fourth center backs. I don't know a team in the world that's going to go into the biggest game of the year with their third and fourth center backs and play well. And Columbus tied that game 2-2, should have won 2-1. So then they come to the second leg. Clearly they were unprepared, or they were incapable of playing this game without Zellerion. And that's where you could talk to me about depth and stuff. Mm-hmm. You look at Toronto, they were missing Josie, Pasuelo, Soteldo, now Kamar Lawrence. Mavinga wasn't 90 minutes match fit. Erickson Gallardo went out 15 minutes in. I understand wanting depth, but there's no teams in the world that can cover some of this. So I still come back to the timing of the competition. When you look at the way Columbus played, when you look at Portland, Charlie, I thought they played well as well, but it felt like they didn't have the legs. And part of that's altitude, and part of that's the situation and the travel. But it didn't feel like a team that was ready to play at that level for 90 minutes. And so I'm fascinated to see what happens with Philly going forward, because we've never had this scenario except sort of last year with LAFC, but that was neutral sites and all of that. And I still come back to, it's hard for any team to compete in this scenario when you're playing against teams at their peak. Then you add in how good these teams are. And so that part's unfortunate. It really, a lot of it was the first leg. These teams didn't set themselves up. If Columbus had won 2-1, it would have been different, I think. If Portland had been able to win 2-1, it would have been different as well. The early goals killed them in this one. And yeah, It was a pretty Wednesday night was super frustrating. Where Tuesday night, I was like, I got Wednesday night. It'll come back around. I was still hopeful slightly. Didn't happen for me.
Yeah, but look, the Tuesday night gave us this. You know Jim Curtin well, Charlie. We all love Jim Curtin. Jim Curtin and Gabriel Heinze in this game, second leg, that was drawn 1-1, but Philly basically won it in the first leg. They had some moments during the match. They had some conversations. There was something building. And at the final whistle, they got together for a chat that you don't normally see. You normally see, like, the pleasantries. Coach shake hands. They keep it moving. Like, very rarely do you get, like, the Oscar Pereja, Caleb Porter, tissue style, like, mano a mano. Very rarely do you get long conversations. This one stretched out, and I was cursing the TV producer that cut off it. I don't need to see anything but Jim Curtin and Gabriel Heinze have this conversation. And afterwards, we got a little insight into what went down from Jim Curtin. Heinze said, hey, that's private stuff. I don't want to talk about it. But basically, Curtin said Heinze was accusing the union of flopping, of diving, of time wasting, of doing all these things that essentially helped them get the results that they got and move on to the Champions League semifinals. And then here's what Jim Curtin said. I'm just going to direct quote him on this. Quote, he's an incredible coach, talking about Heinze, an incredible player, but you can still be a sore loser and be an a-hole at the end of the game. I still think there's a right way. I think you should shake hands like men after the game. He'll probably have something to say now that I've said that, but again, I'm not going to sit here and just take it anymore. Jim Curtin bringing all the smoke. And not being afraid to say
smoke.
The man wears a hoodie in both legs. His team gets through, and then he comes and drops that in the postgame press conference. If you're a player, Charlie, on the union, and you see that quote, what are you thinking? What are you thinking just as someone who loves this game and is like, oh, damn, Jim Curtin went there on Gabriel Heinze?
I'm hyped. And I think it comes off, you have a little bit more, I think, status, having won Supporters Shield last year. You have something now to kind of back you up. And you come into this performance, you're like, yeah, Lenny Knight, you did have all the glitz and glamour. You were the 2018 MLS Cup champion. Those times are long gone. You're not top dog anymore. And Gabriel Heinze, with all due respect, you were a fantastic player. I even probably supported you when you were at Manchester United winning, you know, Premier League trophies. But now You're in my house. We just beat you. We move on. You don't. Shake my hand. Have some respect. Don't give me the, oh, we were diving around. We beat you in Atlanta, and we move on. You didn't beat us at our house either. So I if I'm a player in the locker room, I'm like, oh, this is out of character. But I like that. You show that Philly, we're proud of ourselves, and you're not going to disrespect us in our house. You're going to shake our hand and move on. Thanks for coming. So I love this from Jim Curtin. It's something that I guess, you know, he hadn't really shown. We haven't really seen from him, and he hasn't shown because he had nothing to kind of back it up. Now he does. He has a supporter shield, and he wants to show, hey, we're not done. We want to win CCL. We want to win more trophies, and we're going to do it in our way.
It feels like it's like straight out of Philly.
They got a shot, by the way, when Carlos Vela comes on loan and Stefan Fry comes on loan, whoever else they need for that CCL semifinals.
Yeah, I think Jamiro Montero is suspended for the first.
I know.
For the first leg, which is
I could
just
not believe an MLS team against an MLS team, and someone got suspended. But to Charlie's point, I actually took that the same way as him, which was in the way this league has grown, Gabriel Heinze comes in 10 years ago, and he's king, right? He's played for Argentina in a World Cup. He's played at Man U and PSG and everywhere else. He's king. Whatever he says goes. And I think now, to Charlie's point, it's Jim Curtin and Philly saying, you haven't won in this league. You don't know how, like, you can't come in and tell us how people in this league are supposed to play and operate. And also, you can't. Nothing Philly did over the course of this. Well, I guess the first leg was a bit contentious. Over the course of this second game, though, was like outside the realm of possibility of wasting time and diving and asking for calls or any of that. That wasn't even like really the vibe of the game. So I like that Jim Curtin stepped up and said that. And I think when he left, he tripped over his Coach of the Year trophy, but then he picked it back up and walked
out. He's like, oh, hey, I forgot that was there. Oh, man, I got to get that back on the shelf where that thing belongs. Yeah. So weird to have brought this. To have shown. Did somebody show Gabi this, or do I need to go in there and show him this? What's going on?
I'm proud of him. Right now, I can tell you, I'm proud of you, Jim Curtin. I am proud of you. You've grown. You've made me happy. Now keep going. Keep
hockey, baby.
He's one of the best coaching personalities in this league, and he's grown into that position. I think he always had that personality, but there was an element of like learning and of proving, and it happened over many years in Philly. And now what we see is a coach that, you know, is saying, I demand respect, and I've earned it. Like, give it to me. Yeah. I'm not going to sit back and quietly say, oh, man, I didn't get my hand shook. Oh, you wanted to talk to me after the game? I'd be like, nah, we just smacked you. That's it. I also think there's an element of, and I don't think it's American or Canadian against non-American Canadian. I think it's MLS experience against non-MLS experience. I think there's a lot of, as you said, I think, Charlie, managers that have either played here or been here or made their careers here who look at some of the guys that are coming in and the hype and the expectations and like the headlines that come with that and say, time out. I'm the one that wins these games. When we play, when we collect trophies, we are the ones, the Bruce Arenas, the Peter Vermeeses, the Caleb Porters, the Oscar Parejas, you know, the Greg Vannies up and down. We're the ones that are actually doing this. And oh, by the way, we're tactically more adept than people give us credit for. We are better managers than they say. So this was an awesome moment. It's one of those things where in a lot of darkness this week for MLS and CCL, this was a little bit of light. And I'm so happy for Jim Curtin and the union. They got a great opportunity here. It's going to be difficult. Very difficult. I was hoping that the Timbers would get through so we could have two MLS teams on that side of the bracket just to guarantee a place in the final. It did not happen that way. So now Union got to do what you got to do to win this thing, which is beat the very best competition in Mexico. We'll see if they can do it. Three Liga MX teams, one MLS team, the Union, their very first CCL, are carrying the flag. Let's get into the weekend.
I'm not going to care next year. I'm telling you now. I'm not going to get committed. I'm not going to get hurt.
Are you? No, you're going to hold 100%. Back.
It's going to take 30 seconds of after the draw. I'm going
to
be.
Well, that's the problem. I tried
that's
to
what
hold
this year.
I tried like, to hold strong. I tried to hold strong, and you guys were like, "You're the worst."
You tried to hold strong.
I was all in too.
It was fake. It was bluster.
I was all in with.
Yeah, you got to be all in
because it hurts a little bit.
You can't love if you can't. You know, you got to get hurt. You got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the win won't be true. You know what? Win the whole thing. I'm sure of it.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I'll be celebrating with you.
Fontana is going
to show. I'm flying to Chester, baby. I'm flying to Chester if that happens. On the banks of the Delaware, we will celebrate the very first MLS victory in the CONCACAF Champions League. Let's get to the weekend, and there's one game we have to start with. That is El Tráfico. You're going to hear us repeat this over and over and over and over. 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, LA Galaxy hosting LAFC on Fox, Fox Deportes. We've got an interview with Chicharito coming up in just a half second. But before we do that, what does this represent, this El Tráfico, to you guys? Chicharito has not played in this. He was hurt last year in MLS's back. We had Anders fact check us for that because we were like in the chat being like, wait a second, were we right? Yeah, he has not played in this. This is why he came for this rivalry, this moment.
Yeah, even if he had, it's not in the stadium. It's not in the – like this – there was a lot of games against each other last year, and I think LAFC set a tone in the way they played in them. But this is El Tráfico, and like this is what he's been waiting for the entire time. And for the Galaxy, this offseason gave them a reset, and you don't get those all the time. And the hope is Greg Vanney's going to be here for a while. The hope is that Chicharito is going to be successful on this team for a while, and that Dennis DeClos is going to stick around and be successful as well. You only get one first chance to redo this. And fortunately for the Galaxy, early on, they were able to at least beat LAFC head-to-head, even if they weren't the better team overall across the seasons. That gave them that little bit of edge. That gave their fans something to talk about, something to be proud of. This is an opportunity to do that again because the Galaxy have been nowhere near LAFC for the last 2 years. So they've got a chance this week on national TV in front of everyone to say, yeah, I mean, we might not be all the way back, but we're back in this conversation. We're going to go toe-to-toe with this team every time we face off. And so that's the opportunity the Galaxy have in this game. Two good wins to start the year. I wasn't convinced. Then you go and lose to Seattle, and that kind of reaffirms the people who don't believe in you totally, that maybe you're not at that class. So this is the opportunity to prove all of that wrong and get a big win.
Charlie, is there a difference between winning this game if you're the Galaxy, if Carlos Vela is there, and if he's not there? How much is his potential absence or his potential presence? To be honest, I have no idea what's happening with Vela. We talked about it on Monday. No idea. He could like trot out and start this game and be like, you know, 99%, and I wouldn't be surprised. And he could be nowhere near the bench, and I wouldn't be surprised. How does his presence and then like his status hanging over affect this?
It's massive. We're talking about one of the best players in this league probably the best player in this league when he's fit and healthy. So when you don't have him, there's a massive difference because he can beat you on the dribble. He can create space. He can dictate the tempo. A lot of the success falls on his shoulders when you're talking about winning trophies, because this is a player that is not going to go over to Europe when he's playing well and scoring 30 goals a year. This is his home. Diego Rossi, on the other hand, we could see him be sold. I think that's the plan. Atuesta, Rossi, they will probably be sold. But for Carlos Vela, this is his home. This is where he's going to stay. This rivalry is his. So you need him on the field because he is capable of those individual brilliant moments when we saw last year against San Jose. He dribbles the whole team and scores, even being the keeper and waiting for him to come and then chipping it in over the last defender. I love that. I think LAFC need Carlos Vela to be at their best.
I think this game needs him.
Well, yeah, you always want to watch Carlos Vela play. Although LAFC without Carlos Vela fully healthy are one of the best teams in MLS. Just to answer the question, which I don't know if it even matters, I don't think it matters if the Galaxy win, Vela or not. Does the Galaxy win over LAFC with Greg Vanney for the first time with Chicharito? If they lose, then it matters. Because then
it's like you lost
without Vela to LAFC. Nothing's changed. This team's going nowhere. Who are your center backs? What is the formation? All those things. So that's where I think it matters.
All right, let's chat with Chicharito here. We talked to him on Wednesday. Anders, hit play, man. We're delighted now to have Javier Chicharito Hernandez on Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire. It's a dream for us, Javier. Thank you for joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm very good, actually. Very good. Excited for this week, regardless of the result that we got last weekend. It wasn't the greatest, but I think it was a very, very good wake-up call for us. But yeah, excited when you have a traffico derby, so you always are like a little bit excited. And in my opinion and in my circumstances, is my first one, so it's going to be great.
Do you like the name El Trafico? There's been some debate about this.
I mean, I think it's irrelevant if I like it or not. What I like is the rivalry that even though they've been for a short period of time comparing to LA Galaxy here in the MLS, they've been doing good the last seasons. So yeah, of course it's great. I mean, I'm always in favor of teams, rivalry and players and anyone who brings a competition, you know, because when you compete in a very healthy way, you elevate yourself. That's why we love sports as well, because you want to challenge yourself against the best ones to see if you can like learn from there and become like a better version of yourself as a player, as a human, and right now as a team. So of course the Trafico, Clásico, Derby, I don't care. I mean, we know how special these games are, but as well that I want to mention, and of course, the whole attention is about the next game. But that's why I always mention about the MLS, that the level is much better than people think, because we went to Seattle and see the game how it was. And Seattle has been one of the greatest team for the past 5 years at least, you know. So that's amazing about the competition, that they think in MLS just some games are difficult and some games are going to be like very easy, right? And the whole games, every single game against every single team, you need to give 100% to kill yourself to try to get the 3 points.
This game, we don't know if it's going to be full strength LAFC. We know how good they are when they have your friend Carlos Vela. I gotta know. We don't know if he's going to play. It's a mystery to me. Maybe not to you. Have you talked to your old friend? I mean, I think we can agree. If there's no Vela Chicharito, it's just not quite the same.
Look, I haven't talked to him. And even though if I would, I mean, I cannot tell you guys what we can speak of, obviously. But of course, it's the same. Look, of course, people think sometimes that to try to find shortcuts, right, in a way. Of course, we know LAFC. It's not the same when a player like Carlos Vela is not in the pitch. We all know. But as well, we need to be very respectful with the team and with the players they have, because they're a very good team with an amazing player that helped them. You know, it's like in my situation too with LA Galaxy. If I don't play, of course, things that they can speak about a lot of stuff, but the Galaxy team is a very good one, you know? I mean, and soccer is about that. Football is about that. It's about teamwork. You know, we can go and play more individual sports if we want all the credit and stuff like that. I mean, so we need to know about that. But yeah, I understand it could be an advantage for us or not. I don't want to say that. The only thing is, like, of course, I'm always want to fight and to try myself against the best teams, the best players. So it will be great if he plays, of course. But if not, I mean, it's not our fault. We're going to try to do our best regardless if he plays or not. We're going to face an amazing squad, like you said it. We're going to expect that they want to play and that they are going to be in the top level so we can be in the same level, and then hopefully we can do the things that Greg, since today, is telling us the tactics, the dynamic, and the way he wants us to play so we can have more advantage in the game, and hopefully we can get the 3 points in our home.
So we know Carlos Vela on the field. He's lit this league up for a number of years. You've known him since your Chivas days as little kids, all the way through. So take it out of soccer. Tell us, who is Carlos Vela? What's he like? What makes him tick?
Look, I mean, Carlos Vela, it's like in the way that he behaves sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't like to do so many interviews. He doesn't want to show himself that much. But that's his personality, because as well, when you talk to him and when you do that, he has this duality, very funny in a way, because he's making so much jokes, but in a way that he's normally so serious, because he's not like a very smiley guy, but he has this humor that is amazing, but as well, he's serious, you know, he has that duality. So, I mean, it's not about personality, but in the way that he plays, it's the way that he treats you in a way. He's so talented. He's so, like, he can improvise things. He's not a guy who you can see that he has like a plan, right? He's just like talent and magic just happens exactly in his food, you know? And I saw that since he started playing with me when we were 15 years old. Imagine that. He was the same guy. He was so like, he was always above anyone of us, even about my age and a lot of us, because he's like 1 year old, younger than us, you know? So, I mean, that's Carlos Vela, and I love him so much. He's been a very special person in my life, because we grew up together. We played 2 World Cups. We've been like a lot, spending a lot of time in our careers. And of course, but then when the rivalry comes, like I always said it, I love him so much. But when I'm with my club, when I'm with my shirt, it's like, I don't know you. For 90 minutes, you're an enemy. And if I need to do whatever I need to do so I can get the 3 points, I will do it, you know, with all the respect. And then when the whistle ends, we can love ourselves again. We can have this friendship. But that's the cool part of sports. You know, it's like you challenge, you compete, you enjoy it with the fans and everything. But then when the whistle goes, if the result is in your favor, it's great. And if the result is not, you don't need to be a sore loser. You know, it's like we are all humans. We can enjoy, we can joke, we can roast a little bit. It's part of this world, of course, but with respect always.
I don't know how anyone could be mad at you for 90 minutes.
I know. That's impossible, man. We've been watching. You keep saying live your best self, and I keep thinking to myself, Javier's 2021 is how we should all be living, trying to be our best selves. You said duality, and when you say duality, I think yin and yang, and I see that on your forearm when you've done these post-game interviews. Is that a new tattoo? When did you get that? What's the story?
The new tattoo and the meaning, it's definitely, it's like the yin yang, and of course what the most like general meanings of yin yang we know is like more of a balance, more of like peace and stuff like that. For me, that it has that meaning, but like I mentioned, duality, for me, in duality, it's like we all have, like I call light and shadow, because that makes us human. The important thing here is like we can wake up our conscious, so we are so conscious when sometimes our shadow comes, we cannot hurt people, or even sometimes we can mess it up. We have the responsibility and the consciousness that we can, ask for not forgiveness in that way of like submission, but like you say that you are wrong, right? And then when you are, we want always to be in our light. And people sometimes, and it happened to me too in my life, think that light goes with pleasure, seeking only pleasure. And for me, what I'm seeking is joyful, is joy, because when I enjoy is when I grow. And I cannot grow if I don't challenge myself, if I don't put myself in uncomfortable situations. Like that's why I utilize soccer in that way. Apart that it's being in my blood, it challenged me so much to be a better version, a part of a soccer player, as a human, every single time, even with you guys. Like in the way that I want to speak, in the way that I want to, whatever I want to say, in the way that everything that is in my hands and in my control, I can do it better, not do it better to feel that I'm a better or worse human. Like I always said it, there's no success, there's no money, there's no fame, there's nothing that should make you feel more or less than any human. You know, we are equal in that way. We are different. That's the cool thing that we all learn about ourselves and other persons. But that's the only thing. I grow because I have one life. that my time is count. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So my experiences that I want to have is those ones that I challenge myself as a father, as a partner, as a friend, as a complete human in a way. And I decide as a soccer player and in any superficial way, I'm going to choose myself. So how life and me, I can challenge myself. That's the only thing. Sorry if I just repeat
it.
That's what Jingyan means to me when I see it. It's like, I'm full, man. I'm full. And it's cool to play the game that I call not only the soccer, like the game of life. And the game of life is that I believe that we come to grow, because growth connects you with love, and then growth is when consciousness is there. So sometimes you don't need rules, you don't need values, you don't need stuff, because when you are so conscious, you don't need to harm no one, because you're already fulfilled. You don't need to seek and to fulfill some emptiness that sometimes we all have, and we just want to hear our ego instead of hear our soul or light, right?
This reminds me of a lot like a former LA Galaxy star and U.S. national team star, Landon Donovan, who was very open and who liked to talk about life outside of soccer and who valued that to such a degree. You've said in some interviews that you have an emotional coach, and you had, we all know, and you've said it, a difficult 2020. We all had a difficult 2020. And now 2021, you're starting to feel and see some light. We can all see that through you. What did you feel you needed to work on with your emotional coach? Where have you been sort of personally in the last few months?
No, it's been, and not only in the few months, because I was working with him since before the Russia World Cup. I started working with him like 6 months before of that. And I mean, it's like life. It's very paradoxical. It's like in everything and in nothing, realistically, because what I'm working is totally in myself. Like, I want to be so conscious of the that I have the responsibility of myself, of my perspective, of the way that I get things. I mentioned in one interview with Leon Krause in a Spanish version, because he brought up this question about, like, we saw you like angry and stuff like that. And he thought he was like angry of media and stuff. And I told him what I realized, it was I was angry about myself, about life. Because we all do, and we all question, like, why me? Why me? Why me? Because we stay in that victim zone that I call. And the click that I realized with him long time ago, but we are humans. We're not going to be perfect. Self-work, life, there's no destiny. There's no destiny to arrive. There's no place that you're going to like feel that I arrive and I'm going to maintain like that. Life is constant chaos. Life is like, it's sunny, it's cloudy. Things can happen. People die, like family members die. You have a kid, then you need to let it go. They need to grow. You have friends, like, life is like that, like letting go and love and then see what is the balance. It's like constant, like doing and growing. It's not a flat surface when you can chill and relax. That people want to do that, I'm not going to judge it and respectful, but that's when I call this, like, but you are dying in a way, right? In my opinion, it's very strong words and stuff like that. So I've been working with him in that way to be fully responsible and don't stay as much in the victim, even though I have feelings and there are things that make me sad, make me angry, make me nervous, make me and everything, because I'm human like all of you, but then I don't want to stay there. I want to stay there as short as I can. So then I take the responsibility. And then if there are things to solve, I found the solution and I don't stay in the drama of just complaining and don't do it and making excuses. I mean, it's nice for your ego. So my uncomfortable there is like, you let go, you take responsibility. I was going to say about work, sorry. The full responsibility of yourself and just work, because life is not easy. No one in life told you when you born that life should be easy. No.
I wonder, you do that interview after the game against Inter Miami, we see your emotion, and as you've been speaking for the last few weeks and for the last year, it's new to see athletes talk this way, and it's new to talk about mental health and what's going on. Have you gotten reaction from friends, from family, from fans? What's it been like?
Yeah, For friends, thankfully, not that much, because they've been knowing me this like in the past 3 years, and I speak with them in this way. Like, speak about duality. Of course, it's like a game. It's fun, and sometimes you can get it serious, but as well, you can not take everything that personal and that serious. So I have like that smile as well. And then when you speak about that interview and I cry, I'm a crier. I cry of happiness. I cry of sadness. I cry of anger. I'm not that guy who like gets angry, because there are other personalities, right? And there are others that get nervous and they smile. For me, smile is natural. I'm happy. But then I cry. That's a way of me of expressing, right? Even when I'm happy, when I'm touched, when I see my kids and see things, I'm like crying. When I'm sad, I cry. When I get angry, I cry. Like, I'm a crier. So the impact every single time that I want to show is, even though it's me, even though it's my career, even though it's me who's pushing and it's me who wants to grow and I'm doing that for self-love, etc., the impact is like, I'm a human, guys. I'm a human. Oh, yeah. Let's normalize that we all are humans. Let's stop asking for perfection. Please, not even for me, like for anyone. Like, I don't want my kids to grow up and whatever they want to do, they need the need and the feel that they need to be perfect. What's perfect? You know what I mean? Like, and we are not. That's why the yin yang. I'm full because I have my dark side and I have my light. Like, all of us, we all gonna mess it up. So let's normalize mess it up. I mean, I'm not going to. There are levels of mess it up and there are levels of, like, of course, there are problems, you know, there are things that we need to work and we have responsibility. Don't get me wrong. But in the like, for us on soccer players, it's like, I'm a human. Of course, I have a bad season and I was the one to react. The good thing is, like, yeah, the story of overcoming, not only on me, on everyone. So that's the message that I try always to try to bring up. Thank you for you guys to let me this up, because sometimes this makes me, a part of speaking about soccer that I love it and you see it as well, this makes me feel very passionate about it, right? Because it's like, that's what I believe this society and this world like needs. And it's not needs of a message or a recipe or a medicine. What we need is to see inside ourselves. Like, the answers are there, the solutions are there. It's just, you need to take it. Of course, it's harder to have responsibility, to love, to be patient, to go for the long run than the shortcuts, the pleasure, the immediate, the everything in hand, right? So that's the way that I think. And thank you that you let me, for example, you and the people that as well, like I said it in an interview, we need not only the people who say only the message, we need you guys to get this message in that way. Because as well, like I always said, why you answer the same questions? Because the questions are the same, right? Sometimes if you want different answers, bring me different questions, right? In a way. So this is a team, in a way, a team thing about press and people who has these platforms and exposure, you know, in these jobs. I think that's a work of two, not only about the message guy, it's as well the receptors and as well for you guys. So thank you.
I completely agree, Javier. From one crier to another, we appreciate you, man. It's been great to watch you have success this year. Hope to see it in the game this weekend, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Big Fox. You can watch El Tráfico, Chicharito, maybe Vela, LA Galaxy, LAFC. Thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate you. Good luck.
Thank you. Take care and thank you, guys.
I think I can say that Javier Hernandez is now a friend of Extra Time. I feel that he's a friend of Extra Time. I don't know if he feels that.
Yeah, he doesn't even know who we are.
Yeah, no, he was like, who were those guys again?
He's like, thank you. They got off and goes, interesting questions. Don't let me ever do that again.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm coming in with the questions.
Okay, I knew that was coming, Charlie. I knew that was coming.
Soften him up, and then next time, I'm coming in with the heat, so.
Okay. All right. Okay. What did you take away from the interview, Div? What was the big sort of takeaway when it comes to just Chicharito, the person, and the player too, but I think more so from that interview, the person?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about it at the beginning of the show, of his ability to talk about mental health and all those things. It's amazing. And I would also say there was a lot that went into bringing Chicharito to this league. And I was unsure at times just what it would be worth and how it went down. And when you hear him talk, you understand why the Galaxy and MLS want him to represent them. Like, this is the exact person you want to go out and speak for your league, both as a player, great career, a lot of stops, World Cups, all that success. But now you can understand as a spokesman, like, what he will be for this league for the rest of his life. And I think you see it with Henry, and we've seen it with Beckham, and Chicharito is clearly going to be in that category. Of every event, every big moment, he's going to be one of the faces of MLS. And it's pretty special, the person that he is, and it's pretty awesome. And hopefully we get to hang out on a beach one day in LA.
Yeah. Hey, let's make that happen. LA Galaxy, Chicharito, holler at us. I think the other thing that goes along with that is that to truly be an effective spokesman in that way, he needs to score goals and be successful. Because in the place that he was last year as a player, he would not have that credibility because he hadn't have done it. It would have been, hey, your stint was a failure. So he's in the process right now of making it a success. And I think that's why I've been, obviously I have the Galaxy Shrine, but I've been so like into the Chicharito storyline. It is this like very classic story of redemption. And the story arc is still going. And we're just at the very beginning of sort of that uptick. Like, there still could be a fall from grace. There still could be an injury. There could be something that derails this. There could be bad performances. The Galaxy could not put chances on a platter for him. Their center backs, as you said, could just be a literal Swiss cheese, and it doesn't matter how many goals he scores. But there is something happening here that can be really special, not just for Chicharito and the Galaxy, but for this league, and I think for soccer in this region. And I hope that it happens. So I hope this weekend in El Tráfico, again, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox, Fox Deportes, that he has a massive game, that Carlos Vela is there, that we see this friendship that he described happen on the field and after the game organically, that we get those moments between the two of them, that we maybe get a little bit of trash talk, but that we get maybe, you know, as he sort of said about himself, the best that this game, that MLS, that this rivalry, that these teams, these players can offer. And that's, I mean, that's what we all want. From ourselves, from our teams, from our league, from everything that we do. And so you hear him talk about it like that, and his focus and his determination and his acknowledgement that he isn't perfect and that he has a ton of sadness in his life, the shadow, as he said, I honestly was inspirational to me. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. I hope there's a Zlatan moment, a vintage moment, whatever that moment may be. Maybe it's a Chicharito hat trick. Maybe it's Carlos Vela, dribbling the whole team, as you said, Charlie. Maybe it's just the insanity of a 3-4 game and El Tráfico feeling like, holy crap, it's back and it's real and there's fans there to see it and support it and feel it. We got something special coming. So I'm excited.
You mentioned the best out there, so we didn't talk about before, but Sebastian Lletget will be back, which is huge for the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Two games suspended. I encourage anyone to go out and look up Athlete Ally, who he worked with during his suspension after the homophobic slur that he said, and they're doing incredible work for LGBTQ plus community. But in the soccer sense, this means Julian Araujo doesn't have to play winger. O'Neill Fisher doesn't have to start, if that's what they go with. If not, if Cabral comes back or they have someone else on the wing, whatever it is, you saw a lack of quality in that final third in Seattle, and they were able to get through it against the Red Bulls at home. Lletget now brings another a player who can set Chicharito up, who can Jonah can play off of, who Victor Vasquez can play off of, and that is a huge piece for the Galaxy.
For LAFC, I think if they don't have Vela, and look, I'm praying, I don't have an LAFC shrine, but
you
if
don't
I
have
did,
a shrine.
I'd have candles have lit candle? For the man. He needs Charlie to be candle. In this game. He needs to be in this game. But if he's not, I think if you're Bob Bradley, you still feel good because you feel like your midfield, Rossi and Baird, their movement can pull this Galaxy back line apart.
Absolutely.
Like can expose gaps, and if you expose those gaps, odds are you're gonna win this game. That to me is the story.
Pre-Vanny, when the Galaxy had done well, they were able to kind of control midfield because you had Lletget and Jonah who could cover ground. Victor Vasquez starts in this game. I mean, Kay and Blessing are gonna be running circles around that midfield, so there's a lot of opportunity. Throwing this out there means nothing to anyone else. Las Vegas Lights have been taken over by LAFC for the first time. They played LA 2 last night for the first time ever. LA 2 won 5-0.
Ooh.
That's where this stands right now.
Take that,
Steve
Cherundolo.
Part one. Yeah.
Wow. Got to come back home and like, dang, they just hung a 5-0 on us right before El Tráfico. Tough stuff. 8 p.m. Eastern, El Tráfico, Big Fox, Over the Air Fox. You can get it anywhere, Fox, for free, Fox. Saturday, El Tráfico, 8 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's keep it moving. Also on Saturday, you got the first, I believe, of the season, Copa de Tejas matchup. This is no longer a Texas Derby deal. It's a three-way between Austin, Dallas, and Houston. I think there has to be still the cannon, right? Like, you can still have, within the Copa de Tejas, please, Dallas, Houston fans, let us know what we're missing here.
Andre says yes. Between Houston and Dallas, there's still
you can't get rid of El Capitan. El Capitan must stay. It has to be at stake. But there is something larger now because Austin has come in. What is this for Houston? I think I know what it is for Dallas. They're at home. They have a little momentum from knocking off the Timbers. But this feels like a sort of like a put-up. Not shut up, but put up, or maybe it's not as good as we thought it could be sort of moment for the Dynamo. They're rebuilding something too, just like the Galaxy. It's a fresh start.
So I'll take this one because as Paul from Houston put in the mailbag, Chuck D captured what every Dynamo fan has felt for years last Thursday when he said, I struggle when I watch the Houston Dynamo play. So I feel like Charlie's less excited about the Dynamo than I
Thank
am.
You. Please, you take it.
So thanks, Paul, for the email. But as I said with the Galaxy, I think this is another chance for Houston where It feels new under Top Ramos, even if it's not his first year. And with Austin coming in, it's reset Texas. It's reset the rivalry. And no one knows where it stands right now. And so for Houston, this is a chance to beat Dallas here, beat Austin the first time you play them, and you're in this conversation, and you're part of this rivalry, and you're setting the tone in the state of Texas, and you've kind of reemerged from what's been a tough last few years. And so for Houston, I think this means the most of any of these teams. I think Dallas has an idea of who they are, where they stand in the league, what they can be. Obviously, they've got guys scoring in Champions League over in Europe. They've had success so in the playoffs. So I think Dallas knows who they are. And for Austin, it's year one. But Austin has started well. So there's the danger for Houston of falling into the third seat.
Yeah, you don't want to get left behind early.
Nope.
Don't ask Vancouver fans how it feels. It's not going to be very fun. So for Houston, I think this is a big chance. And even to propel them and say, people aren't really watching us. We're happy with the soccer we played. Because they are. Over the first 3 weeks, they got a good result against LAFC. Great first week against San Jose. But people still aren't talking to them the way they should. Just like random people. People I don't know. People on other platforms. Stuff like that.
The people that whose names rhyme with Smarly Smavies definitely
exactly.
have not slandered the Houston Dynamo.
Massachusetts doesn't respect them.
Of late,
So this is a big chance. 2 weeks in a row on national TV to say we play attractive soccer. We believe in who we are. We believe in who these players are. And so I think this is a big chance for the Houston Dynamo.
And I know that they didn't feel like go back to instant replay and people letting us know what they think, Charlie. They were not happy. We're Dynamo fans about our offside take on that goal by Corey Baird. They didn't think that should have stood. They think they should have got a win against LAFC. Well, again, another chance. This is not the Kalen Carr Dynamo of old. It's a different team, and every single week they're going to have to prove that. 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, Univision, TUDN, and in English on Twitter. What about for Dallas, though? Last week was interesting. I mean, look, Portland Timbers rotated heavily.
T3.
Don't put much in that result, to be honest. It's okay. It's great
about extrapolating, look, it's a confidence booster ahead of this one. Like, doesn't matter. Like, play who you play. You get four goals. Pepe starts. Paxton is starting to get in there. They're showing that maybe those offseason signings aren't the same ilk that previous offseason foreign signings have been for them. I mean, there's something there for Lucci. Is he still figuring it out? I think he has said publicly, yes, I'm still figuring this out. But
What's interesting about that for him is he went three at the back to start the year. They went two at the back last game, which got Ricuarte closer to goal, which I think he needs. He's not athletic enough to cover the ground to be that second runner. But Matt Hedges was hurt. So is this a system that he sees and now he's got to fit his three center backs into it? Or is it just because Matt Hedges was hurt and he's going to revert back to what he did? So I think there was a lot of excitement from that game. And I think Pepe's play was a big one. Not as a finisher, but just his ability to get other people involved. And if Hara's not finishing, he doesn't bring that at the level that Pepe does. So that's an opportunity for Pepe to get the start. And then the other one is Eddie Manjoma, who I was a fan of in the academy. He's not Brian Reynolds good. He's not going to explode on the scene like Reggie did. But he got the start at right back, which slides Hollingshead back to left back, where he was so good over the course of the last year. If that's an option, I think that makes Dallas more dangerous going forward.
La Copa de Texas, that's starting 3:30 p.m. Eastern, Univision, TUDN, Twitter on Saturday. 6 p.m. Eastern is Orlando NYCFC on ESPN. And I have a note here from Anders that says, Dave has an idea. It says nothing else. And usually that scares me. Normally I would just try to roll past that as fast as possible. You're looking very pensive, Dave. You're not
I just want to make sure I have the rule up. Okay. No. It's not that bad.
Okay.
I promise.
All right. Tell me what this is.
I'm not going to burn any team down.
What's the idea?
So the rule in FIFA, the laws, say you can change your goalkeeper with another player on the field at any time as long as the ref is informed and it's a stoppage of play. What I'm saying is Oscar Pereja hands in his starting lineup an hour before the game with Rodrigo Schlegel in goal and Pedro Gallese as center back. He trolls NYCFC for an hour and then off the first kick, then when the first stoppage, you swap them out and the memes and the GIFs are worth all of it. That's my plan.
That's quite a plan. I am now seeing just images of that playoff match and that PK shootout dance in my head. I mean, I wouldn't say this is Atlanta Orlando level, but there is something special to this one that both sides feel from being basically expansion brothers and coming in at the same time and having these diverting sort of fates. Certainly NYCFC's was better, and now it kind of feels like Orlando's trying to one-up it. But Orlando quietly has had a very good season. They've had a ton of news this week as well. It seems like Joao Moutinho is coming back. Definitely Alexander Pato is having surgery. That's going to keep him out for a little while. Julia Poe told us on the Twitter Spaces show that we do on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, on my handle. We go through the power rankings. That Oscar Pereja wants Daryl DK back in purple before the summer transfer window, which sounds crazy to me. Charlie, when you see this matchup, this game, and you think about what's at stake for two teams that are within shouting distance of first place in the Eastern Conference, your boys, the Revs, are up top. But if they don't get a result in Nashville this weekend, if New York City or Orlando win, they would jump them and into first place. What do you see in this game? What gets you excited?
I'm excited to see what Orlando can do after coming off that 3-0 win versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati's struggling. We all know that. But that's the type of energy that you need from this Orlando team without a striker like a Daryl DK. You have Akindele, who probably should have had a brace at the very least against the Cincinnati team. But now you're playing against New York City. And New York City FC have a really strong back line that have been together for years with Sean Johnson in between the pipes. I like where New York City FC is finally heading. They look like finally we caught on to how we're going to play, how we're going to create goals. 5-0 win against Cincinnati got them going to win 2-0 against Philadelphia in Philadelphia, which is a very difficult place to play. Castellanos, I've always thought this can be a special player. He can be a special player in Major League Soccer. If he finds the right gaps, if he's consistent, if he's always playing more aggressive towards goal. And with Jesus Medina, who I thought came on last year, they're a very dynamic team. Orlando needs this result, because if they don't, I think New York City FC, we're going to see them hit a whole new level within Major League Soccer, because that's the belief that they need to go to play against Orlando and to win. I think that's going to really set the tone for them this coming season.
Does it feel inevitable that NYCFC are going to go out in the summer and make a bunch of signings?
I don't know. I thought they'd make more coming into the season, just that final week or so. And they did make some, but not as many as I expected. So I don't know that it's locked in that they're going to go out and get two DPs in the summer. And especially if they start winning, right? Why do you need to add that much to this group?
I think it'll be interesting in this game, if we're talking about just individual matchups. James Sands dropped into the back line and really sort of dictated with possession for NYCFC in their last one against Philly. Now, of course, they were 10-man Philly because Jose Martinez lost his damn mind and karate chopped a dude in the side of the head.
And they were Philly coming off CCL, which has not been successful.
There are some caveats. There's some flags to this
NYCFC. Which is why this is big for them. Because this would be the one where you'd say, no caveats. You beat Orlando in a big game like this on national TV. Okay, for sure. Your team has found their feet. And the other piece, and bring up transfers and whatever, it felt like if Tati Castellanos was going to go, it was going to happen last week because he's no longer eligible to play in Copa Libertadores. If he went to Brazil, and I don't even know if the window's still open. So he's locked in now. If they can win here. Yeah. If they can win here, that's a big, like, we're back. We know who we are. We're one of these top teams in the East.
And to build off that, if he doesn't go now and he wanted to go, you're going to see him play with this fire and this passion so that he can leave in the summer. So you're going to get the most out of him, ideally, from now until July, which is perfect for New York City FC, because then that transfer window opens and you can replace him. And, you know, there are a number of names out there when you talk about players who are coming towards the tail end of their European career.
Do it.
Dare I say it?
Do it.
Sergio Kun Aguero.
Ooh.
I mean, that's as soon as he was released out of that contract and he was like, this is it for me in Man City. That's the dream. That's the dream. I'm not saying sell Tati, but you know, if you have a double of him and Eber, and if somebody gets hurt, you can move it on. That sounds pretty good. Now, I was going to say I know, but when he gets back, all right, let the man heal. Okay. I was going to say it's Akindele and Sands in that back line, because Orlando are going to try to pressure him. They're going to try to push him around and get get possession routed in the ways that they can attack the ball and then turn around with those wingers and come at him. We'll see if it works. I think this is a big game for James Sands. All right, on Sunday, Inter-Miami Atlanta United is the first of two games on ABC. It's a doubleheader starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. Higuaín, Neville, Joseph, Heinze. This is not yet the rivalry that obviously Atlanta-Orlando is, but because it couldn't really be that. I mean, last year was Inter-Miami's first. The fans were not in the stands. The games themselves were weird. Joseph wasn't around. To me, this feels like, hopefully, and I'm not going to say it's already here, but hopefully the birthplace of this, and I hope it starts on the field. I hope it's like a little bit of that Philly Miami energy, where there's a little contentiousness, where there's something to prove between two new managers of two new clubs, where both fan bases are looking down and being like, nah, we're better than you. What do you like in this game, Dave? What are you looking for? What excites you? My expectation is that Higuain Bros are back, but I don't know that for sure. I haven't seen any coverage on that.
Don't forget how they played last match. That's all I'm going to say.
Inter Miami?
Yeah, or yeah. Atlanta. Well, I didn't know who you were talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you, that's very.
Inter. Into yeah. Miami.
Okay, remind us from your point of view how they played.
No, go ahead.
Josh,
go ahead first.
No, Charlie, you're locked in.
You just jumped in.
Because I feel strongly about this.
So give it to us strongly. Let's go.
I was immensely disappointed with the way they played the game, how they approached the game. And I get it. You're missing Gonzalo Higuain, not Federico, because Federico was always brought in to kind of come in late stages of the game, control the tempo. You know, get someone who's comfortable on the ball, who can play into the wide areas and float in between the gaps. But Gonzalo, yes, you're missing your predator, your number nine, who's going to score goals, who's going to kind of lead the line. They were just a shell of themselves. They were defending for large portions of the match against the Nashville side, and we know how Nashville plays. They're a little bit more expansive, but they're not the most creative team. And Inter Miami just looked like a team with no identity. Without Higuain on the field, it was like, oh, we don't know how we're going to play. We don't know how we're going to attack. We're going to hope for the best. And then you bring in Robbie Robinson, who leaves. He was already injured coming in. Then he had to be substituted off.
The boy doesn't know his body, that's all.
So for me, this Inter-Miami team has so much to play for and so much to still prove, because I'm looking at them now and I'm saying this team's going to finish in the bottom third of the league and miss out on the playoffs.
No, but yet they're getting results, and they weren't getting results last year. So that's the part that you have to take coming into this, which is there's probably a level of belief and confidence in the group they didn't have. Because on top of all you said, Figal got hurt in like warmups, and they had to readjust the whole lineup, although they promised he wouldn't play right back, and I think he was scheduled to play right back in that game. So I think for Miami, yeah, maybe it wasn't the soccer you wanted to see, but to get a result on the road against a team that blew you out in the playoffs last year, and then to get the Higuain brothers back and maybe Figal back coming into this one, has to be a pretty big moment for them. And I would say what's interesting about this matchup to me is I still question Atlanta being goal dangerous, especially without a fully fit Joseph. This is a Miami team that outside of last week has given up opportunities. So it'll be interesting to see the strengths and weaknesses of these two teams, how that matches up. Because you know Atlanta's going to throw numbers forward. Heinze is trying to be aggressive. He's getting a ton of opportunities for his team. They just haven't been dangerous. I think this is a Miami backline that they can get better looks out of and hopefully score some goals. And then on the flip side, they leave themselves exposed. And so Lewis Morgan should eat up that entire right side over the course of this game. And if they do have Higuain back, and the one thing I disagree about, Federico, Charlie, is if Pizarro's playing as a false nine, Federico would have helped underneath him as an option. But whatever it is, if Pizarro comes back in, this is the type of game for him where it's wide open. He can cover ground. He can take the ball at pace and then get into that final third rather than try and pick apart a defense when they're sitting in a deep block.
Is Barco going to be there for this game? Is Jürgen Damm? I think the Barco one's the big question because, yeah, they don't create clear goal-scoring opportunities. They're not putting Joseph Martinez in the position that he was finding himself in the first 3 years in MLS. It's a lot of hopeful stuff. It's a lot of possession in the final third, but nothing really purposeful. That moment where you're like, ah, bingo, they found it. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, into the end line. All right, here's the service. Or, all right, here's where the gap is. That's the right run. I haven't seen that so far. There's a lot of buzzing around. There's a lot of guys on the ball in the final third. There's just not a lot happening from that. If Ezequiel Barco is not here, I'd be curious to see how they try to create, because it seems like for Heinze, he's saying, you're the 10. We're going to try to get that out of you. And you have to say that when you paid $15 million for a guy and he hasn't delivered so far. This is going to be a fun one.
They have signed, in Santiago Sosa, a very special player in this league.
That's true.
But for that to be your only goal in a game you're chasing 3-0 in a second leg is from your defensive midfielder, his debut goal, that
Get him.
That team is lost in the attack right now. And if Barco's out, Joseph out, whatever it is, other MLS teams are missing players as well. You have to be able to finish opportunities with the quality of players that Atlanta has brought in. But there's a chance this game's 5-4 after saying all of that, with LGP playing as a center forward at times and Alan Franco playing as a regista. So who knows?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, Barco is the key for this team. And I thought Gabriel Heinze was brought in large part because he has a lot of these South American players and the Argentine connection between him and Barco. Get the most out of your assets. He was brought in to be sold, like they sold Miguel Almiron for 20 plus million, because he's highly regarded, a special talent, youth talent in Argentina. So for me, when I see him on the field, when he came in as a substitute against the Revolution, he was this creative. He wanted the ball. He was trying to probe the New England Revolution back line.
But
he has to be central to the attack. And that means you're putting so much pressure on him to deliver. If you don't have him to play through, this team has nothing, absolutely nothing. And as great as Sosa is, and I'm a fan of him. I can see the way he reads the game.
He might be the $20 million player.
Yeah. Carlos Gil absolutely posterized him. And Sosa is more like in the mold of a Fernando Gago. I don't know if you remember him playing at
Boca Legend.
Yes.
Don't know if we remember Fernando Gago. But, all right, Charlie.
You know, I mean, Higuain came at the same time.
Yeah, a calm presence on the ball, sees the field well, great anticipation. But you can only do so much from that position from Atlanta. It's the next phase of the game.
100%.
And they don't have that. So,
all right. Incompletes, let's say, for both Inter Miami and Atlanta United. We'll see what they can do. 1 p.m. Eastern on ABC. ESPN Deportes, 3 p.m. right after that. Just keep it on ABC. Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders. This feels like an opportunity for the Sounders. You know, somebody said posterize. To posterize the Timbers at home. And Timbers fans are not going to be happy with me for saying that, but CCL trends coming off a trip to Azteca, a loss in Azteca. Yeah, I know Obobese is back. I know there's some things that are trending right for the Timbers outside of that result. But the Seattle Sounders are, at this point, looking like an early juggernaut that doesn't always last. To me, and Anders didn't pay me to say this, it feels like a moment for the Sounders to exert their dominance, let's say, on national TV.
Okay, he didn't pay you to say this, but you know he's dancing right now. Behind the scene, he is loving it. He is loving it.
I might get some royalties for that, actually. You know, just like some trickle down, just start getting checks for like 15 cents from Anders.
But you know what was surprising to me is Kellen Rowe being inserted into the lineup, and that's the best I've seen Kellen Rowe look in 5 years. Right.
Since he played for the U.S. in the Gold Cup.
Right. He looks refreshed. And it's almost like the perfect kind of addition to this Sounders team. Someone who can play a variety of different positions, box to box, can cover ground. We've seen what I think the Seattle Sounders style and approach has done for, let's say, a Will Bruin, who I don't think would have the same effect on too many other MLS teams. But with this Seattle Sounders setup, he thrives. Yaimar also looks like a little reinvigorated from the initial benching to start the year. It's hard to root against the Sounders team because they have a lot of likable players and characters. But Rui Diaz, what a player to do all that, you know, without a Ladero at his peak. This team has everything written all over it as far as like being a dominant force again once again this year.
Guess who has Rui Diaz in his Golden Boot draft?
All right. I should have made the selection. It was a mistake.
Just real quick for this matchup for Portland, Zuparic was suspended. Andy Polo came back from quarantine, so he should be in decent shape. Played last weekend, got a few minutes midweek. You'd assume Bonilla probably comes back into this team. As you said, Obobese coming back from injury. So I think Portland has the ability to rotate some players and still stay strong. What'll be interesting to me is I question Zuparic and Mabiala's ability to defend 1v1, and who follows Will Bruin, or is it Chara coming back and covering his space? And then how do they deal with Raul Rui Diaz? The way Seattle's playing, no one else is playing. So it's a new challenge that you have to deal with for a backline that has looked shaky to start the year. and they've brought in some great quality in the attack from the fullback position, but maybe not so much defensively and in structure.
What happens when Seattle overload, whether it's with Brad Smith or it's with Roldan, and if Lodeiro's back and he's drifting into that left-hand channel, like if we thought Brad Smith was good now, imagine Brad Smith with Lodeiro drifting in there with his gravity, his vision, his ability to pick that pass in behind, and they have Roldan buzzing around still. You have the two forwards with their movement throwing people off. I mean, we talked about it on Monday's show. There's a big mea culpa basically from Doyle and Brian Schmetzer. Like, they've figured something out. It will be interesting to me to see how long other teams take before they adjust, because you got to adjust to what they're doing right now. You have to game plan for that and try to find a way to slow them down, especially those fullbacks on the flanks.
Now
we'll see what happens.
One of the things Seattle has always struggled with is when teams sit really deep on them.
Yeah.
And I think Portland will have no qualms doing that. And they did it to them last year. Obviously both teams are different. No Blanco, Jordan Morris, whatever. But that I think is the first step is, okay, they figured out this style. They've looked good. They've been flowing. If Portland comes in and puts 10 and 11 behind the ball for large chunks of this game because they know they can hit in transition and be dangerous, how does Seattle handle that?
We'll see. And can Felipe Mora take advantage of his opportunities?
Don't even bring his name up on this show. Get out of here.
Oh, get well, Nisgoda.
Yeah, and J-Bo.
And Bubba Z can play center forward, Gio. I'm just throwing it out there for you, man. 3 p.m. Eastern on ABC, Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders. Also, by the way, we are doing the Celebrating Soccer Moment of the Weekend presented by Continental Tire every Monday. So that doesn't have to be on the field. It can be off. I know that Timbers fans are going to be in the stadium. And I think that was a late sort of thing that got figured out for them for this game. Just super happy for them to be there. Everybody obviously be safe. Get vaccinated if you can. But it looks like as we all do the right things and as science sort of takes the day, that there are going to be some opportunities for a little normalcy. And we all know that these rivalry matches, in particular Cascadia, are just not the same without the fans being there. So I'm really excited for that. If you have nominations, whether it be like, you know, maybe a fake throw in at a coach's head, maybe, you know, double hoodie from Jim Curtin, whatever it might be, a great goal, a great moment, fans, TIFOs, whatever, we want your Celebrating Soccer Moments of the Weekend presented by Continental Tire. Hit us up at Extra Time on Twitter. The final game of the weekend is Sporting KC Austin FC. That's Matt Beasler's return on FS1. To Kansas City.
The Beasler game.
Yeah, the Beasler game, baby. I mean, everybody's going to be very polite.
Are they going to give him a chair made of broken bats that he's caused or something like that? Do you remember when Mariano Rivera, whatever. I wonder if KC will do something for him.
What would you want to be done for you, Charlie, if you were Matt Beasler returning to Kansas City? Would you want it to be made a big deal, or would you, with maybe the way it went down at some point, would you just be like, hey, let's just play this thing. My Austin FC team might actually be better than you guys. We're going to try to go show it to you. Like, that doesn't seem
I think
he's probably got an edge.
I think for any player that spent a lot of time in a certain community with the team and has done so much for an organization, you're hoping that the fans just, you know, come out to show some appreciation for what you did for the club. That's all you're hoping for. You're not hoping for like this big,
the front office stuff you don't care about. Kind of contrived, right?
Like, yeah. You're like, it was business. At the end of the day, it's a business. But from the fans, you're hoping that you're just well received. They have some, maybe a tribute, you know, TIFO would be over the top and you'd be super appreciative of that. But it's more so just that they're saluting you. They're clapping for your appearance, you know, coming back to the stadium. That's all you hope for as a player.
We got to get the show out quickly so KC fans can get a TIFO going for Matt Beasley.
That's the ultimate. Hey, that's the ultimate kind of show of respect.
If a
fan base shows you a TIFO and you're no longer playing for them, that means you really meant something to them.
If it was me and I was Matt Beasler, I'm just throwing it out there. It's a really long line at Oklahoma Joe's. So if someone got me a Z-Man and maybe some bread from Messenger Cafe, I don't have to wait in those lines. You give me that food, that's a good enough reward for me.
Look at you dropping it.
I'm just a KC guy.
Look at you dropping it. You know how we know you're a KC guy? Because you said Oklahoma Joe's. This KC Joe's stuff is sacrilege, and I will never accept it. It is always going to be Oklahoma Joe's. Had it the other day, Z-Man for life.
Yeah, it's a good sandwich.
And Messenger is a great coffee spot. I appreciate that you knew that. A little three-story downtown.
The best bread in America.
We could go on a long diatribe about Kansas City. We're exploring right now. All right, our ESPN Plus game of the week. We're each going to pick one here. We want to get the mailbag, so make it quick, Dave. What do you got?
I've got Vancouver against Montreal. these are two teams that have started bright after a tough year last year. There's a lot of promise, obviously a lot of expectations as two Canadian sides. Kind of takes away the excuse of, well, we're not at home. You know, neither of them are. And so I think for Vancouver, you got to see something out of the run of play. Caicedo and Dahomey are back in their natural positions. You've got to see some creativity from them. And then on the flip side for Montreal, their best performance was the tie last weekend against Columbus, from quality, from creativity. Wanyama looked, I think, the best I've seen him in MLS. So can they continue that role and get results with it?
3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Charlie, we've given you the game of the weekend. Viernes de Football, RSL San Jose, 9:30 p.m. Yes. Everybody's watching this. Get on Twitter, baby. Cade Cowell Hive up and running.
Cade Cowell has come into this season with an ambition, with a goal to turn heads, to make improvements, and to get on the U.S. men's national team. That's evident. He wants to take that next step. And who better to learn from than a Chris Wondolowski, as far as positioning, tactically, being aware, popping up at the right places at the right time, because that's a skill.
You think he's saying to Wando, like, look, Wando, this is how you get in behind a back line. Like, Wando, you tell me about movement and one-touch finishing. Oh, I'll tell you about putting the wheels on Frédéric Briant and burying people physically.
Well, he obviously has that skill that you can't teach, speed.
A little bit of Charlie Davies in some of the, like, the balance and the burst.
I could see that.
Maybe I'm just trying to butter you up.
Charlie
smiled
just grew.
Charlie, I've been waiting for someone to say something along those lines. I see that as well.
No, I think he's a great kid and obviously makes the difference for Matias Almeida, because that's such a weapon when you play a loose style and you can get him isolated 1v1. He's going to hurt teams. He has the pace to hurt you. Now you're starting to see a finished product from him. And I think he's getting cleaner in front of goal. When that comes into play, now at 17 years old, the sky's the limit. On the flip side, you're looking at RSL, who have surprised everybody. Make no mistake, no one thought they'd start the season 2-0. No one. And Rubio Rubin has been a player that has turned heads with his finishing ability, the way he's been calm in the attacking third, showing composure that we didn't actually expect from. So this is the match to me, because I want to see, is RSL for real? Are they really going to play a certain way, a style, be aggressive? Freddy Juarez, I think, has done a fantastic job with this squad. And on the other side, San Jose, Matias Almeida, we know what he's done for the San Jose Earthquakes, but are they going to be consistent? Or are we going to see the same thing last year, up and down, up and down, win 5-1, lose 5-1?
Are they a good team or are they a fun team? Right. That's what I constantly think about with the Earthquakes. Because I'm myself, I'm going to list three games real quick. We'll get to the mailbag. Jefferson Soteldo might make his debut for Toronto at 1 p.m. Eastern against New York in New Jersey at Red Bull Arena. So that one's one you'd want to tune in for. I'll also throw out Nashville, New England, because Charlie didn't do it at 1:30 on MLS Live on ESPN Plus. Nashville at home again.
Big one. That's a big one.
That's the Charlie Davies Bowl right there. Nashville folks, they heard that little line from you in here.
They're
probably already in your mentions.
Randall Leal, I said it. One, love the kid. I'm going to be supporting him. I love what he stands for. Two, he's upped his game to kind of change the way they play. They're playing through him. They're trying to be creative. They're not just playing one way, free kicks, counterattack, but they still use their outside backs in Lovitz and
Alistair Johnston
a little too much. So I think being a little bit more unpredictable than just playing outside, whip it in.
That's the praise. See, you got some praise, Nashville folks, from Charlie Davies there. That was praise. Also, I'd throw out Colorado hosting Minnesota late night on Saturday, because Minnesota hasn't won a game. So that could be important as well. In fact, they've lost all their games. All right, let's get to the mailbag here. Dave, what do we got?
Pretty good mailbag today. We already had Paul, of course, from Houston. Alex Hickenbottom. First, he requested from us going forward, he'd like a most wins at each position in MLS best 11. But then came with what we brought up on Monday, which was best tradition starting 11. Obviously, Ochoa in goal for that. Here are some other ones. Domodoro up top for the insane haircuts. That's a great MLS tradition. The Harrison Awful Diego Chara Peter Pan effect year after year.
Which I like that one.
Continue to get younger.
I like the Peter Pan reference there is good. Yeah.
Nice. Zlatan, most insane interviews, not only in MLS history, but in sports history. Steven Lenhart, most hated or loved player in MLS history, had some mascots, had some other players, no center backs. So if anyone has a good center back tradition that they want to bring to us, although maybe you could have one around Cincinnati in a negative way, and he finished with Cincinnati, the city of wooden spoons.
Oh, Lord. That sounds like a Crew fan right there, if I had to guess. Yeah, I'd love that. I mean, I'm the man of the best 11s at MLSsoccer.com, so if you maybe this is one I should do. I think the most wins best 11 could be an interesting one. Maybe we'll do the research on that and bring it for the next show. We got time for one more. Let's do one more and we'll get out of here.
So we're going to go with Steve from Michigan, who says, if MLS clubs had names like other American sports teams, city followed by mascot, what would some be? He picked these: Nashville Neon, the Toronto Reds, the Houston Foxes. I didn't even know there were Foxes there. The New England Rebellion and the Rattlers.
You're going to slander Sly like that? You don't know there's Foxes in Houston? Sly has been doing the work in full
Sly
mascot.
Is the Revs mascot.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
What's the one in Houston then? I forgot his name. I was just going to be like, he's in just diabolical heat and a
Diesel.
Diesel does his work in the Houston humidity and heat, and we can't even give this man the respect.
Disrespect.
I like that. Philadelphia Rattlers, so he's pulling off the, what about the, Kansas City State Lines? No, I'm just kidding. That was a bad reference.
Okay,
You can just close me on that one. All right, big thanks to Chicharito for joining the show, and thanks to you guys as well. A huge weekend of MLS coming up. Go check MLSsoccer.com for all the schedule, the coverage. A reminder, the biggest one among many is El Tráfico, 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday on Fox. Check it out. On Monday, we'll be back with Doyle and Kalen to break it all down. Enjoy your soccer weekend, everybody.